You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, July 27th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sossman. This is a happy Thursday to you all. Hope all is well as we head toward the weekend. Sleeper Week continues on here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, and of course on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and at rotoexperts.com. The exclusive edge package is available right now. Use promo code SUSMANIA when you check out rotoexperts.com/bigdeal because, well, we want to give you a big deal. That's 20% off. Use SUSMANIA. You get money off. I get money. It's great. Scotty, what's going on, man?
Yes.
Please turn your mic on.
Yes. And if you go to rotoexperts.com this morning, good morning, you can check out my completely updated player rankings.
Wow!
Yes. PPR, non-PPR.
You got the rankings up this morning.
Yes.
Wow. And they're on rotoexperts.seahawks.com.
They are on rotoexperts.
There's a preview of them on seahawks.com, but the full ranks are on rotoexperts.com.
This is exciting. Yeah. This is a big day.
Yeah. Also, my wide receiver primer is on seahawks.com this morning.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Hey, so I think next week, we're probably just going to like dive into your rankings.
Sure.
And try to pick them apart a little bit. So excited for that. That'd be fun.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's good with you, Greg? How's everything going today? You know what I'm saying? How about my head? Hold on 1 second. Maybe it's my headphones.
Yeah, the phone was loud.
I feel like I don't sound right. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you sound fine.
I sound good, Scott?
Yeah, you sound coming sharp, clear.
Okay,
you
know? Cool. Because I just want to make sure everybody knows Fantasy Executive. You know what I'm saying? When they hear my voice, I don't want no problems with the audio. What's up with Jeff, yo? Why is Jeff mounted in the studio?
Would you say that your jersey of Ezekiel Elliott today is in support of him?
Yes, I am in support of Ezekiel Elliott.
It's a dangerous thing to say.
I am not in support of whoever did that to Jeff.
Jeff,
mounted Jeff.
Jeff looks right.
It looks like Jeff died. It looks like Jeff died again. Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm not looking as good as Scott today. He's got a nice Russell Wilson jersey on, some nice new sneakers. So.
Thank you, sir.
Is it shaved today, too?
My wolf gray Russell Wilson jersey.
I've noticed it's Seahawks week for you. You've worn a Seahawks shirt every day this week.
Actually, no, I did not yesterday.
Are you sure?
Positive, yes. Okay. Russell threw out the first pitch of the Mariners game.
Three out of 4 days is pretty accurate. So
yeah,
there you go. On the program today, Sleeper Week continues. We're talking some sleeper tight ends, especially with the Jordan Reed injury, which we're going to get to in one moment. I also want to get to some of these sleeper wide receivers we didn't get an opportunity to talk about yesterday on the program. We're going to do that coming up in hour number one. But when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we are going to take a look at some of the top headlines from yesterday, including Jordan Reed, Devontae Booker, and Joe Flacco. Roto Experts in the Morning, up and running on a Thursday here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. And it is tight end day, tight end sleeper day here on the program. And because of that, I want to start with Jordan Reed from yesterday. Because Jordan Reed opens on the active pup list. And all of us are kind of just like, huh? Like, what now? And the report was that he had some toe issues.
Some toe discomfort.
Some toe discomfort. Now, toes, it's painful.
It's turf toe.
Turf toe's not good.
No, it's not, because you know what turf toe does?
Lingers.
It lingers. It does not go anywhere. And the last thing you want to hear about Jordan Reed is that he has an injury that's going to be lingering, something that could cause him to miss time throughout the course of the season. We know how talented this dude is. Read the stat yesterday about Kirk Cousins' quarterback ranking when he's passing the football to Jordan Reed. That's his guy. That's his target. And now this just opens it up where, you know, now you have a situation where, okay, Reed could become a buying opportunity if he drops far enough. But by the same token, is it really a buying opportunity when you're probably only likely going to get 11, 12 games of production from the kid? So, you know, it's just this the stuff that we have to deal with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we were talking about all that injury stuff with, like, Danny Woodhead yesterday. And, you know, we just know from, like, talking to Dr. A, too, some guys are more injury-prone than others. Of course, the NFL is a very, very violent game, and anybody can get injured at any time. But, you know, when you know certain guys are more prone to injury than others, you, of course, you're naturally more hesitant to draft them, especially when you have a tight decision between two similarly ranked players.
Well, last night, speaking of Jordan Reed, he went with the fourth pick in the fifth round in the NFFC online challenge. I've seen Jeff Erickson tweeted out his board. So he did fall back at least a round last night on this news. In the fifth round, I'm going to take that gamble on Jordan Reed. And I could always...
In the Super?
In the Super, no. I learned, okay. And I'm glad you bring that up, Corey, because I see people saying all the time, if Rob Gronkowski's there in the third, take him. I went by that motto last year. I was not planning on taking Gronkowski. I took him with the third pick in the third round, and I wound up regretting it all season long.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you got to understand, when we're speaking about taking gambles on these players, taking risk on these players, there is a certain level of importance of team, importance of entry fee, where you're like, okay, well, this is not the league to take this shot right here. Now, Scott, what do you think about, like, me playing it that way?
I think I'm fine with it. You know, at any level, you know, especially, of course, it makes sense at that level. You know, fantasy football, it's like, you know, and when people listen to this channel and they go to Roto Experts and they listen to you and guys like Matt, it's because they want reassurance and they want to minimize risk as much as they can. You know, it's so hard to get, like, reassurance or peace of mind in fantasy football. So you want to minimize the concern, the worry, if you will, as much as you can. And when you don't draft these guys, you feel in your mind that you minimize the worry more than you can. Look, in the high stakes format, you know, there will be guys that say, okay, look, if Gronk's going to play 16, you know, I know what I'll get. But, you know, I prefer to at some point I'll take just about everybody if they slip to the right spot. Well, but
in a GST league.
In the
fifth round of the GST league, Jordan Reed is sitting there. Does Scott Engel make the move?
No,
I will.
I don't. Because I...
You will?
I
will.
For two reasons.
That.
Number one...
In the fifth round, I'll take him as well.
I will in that spot.
Well, I usually don't start thinking tight end until the sixth round anyway. Yeah, you know, okay. I want three wide receivers and two running backs in the first five rounds traditionally.
Balanced attack.
Yeah.
You know who would be a good... If you run in a balanced attack, I'm curious. If you say you coming out... The first five rounds with three running backs and two wide receivers. Wide receivers and two running backs. I would love to see who that second running back is going to be.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I got a feeling it's going to be Marshawn Lynch.
Well, hold on. I'll tell you this. Scott started his draft yesterday with two running backs, back-to-back.
Yeah. Okay, he went back-to-back running
back. By the way.
But that's on the turn, though. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes, I told you, though, there's a window of running backs from like 10 to, say, 14 or 15 where I'm probably going to let them slip and go with the wide receiver.
Okay, but I'm just trying to figure out how that's going to work, because
every draft is
different.
That's
true. You never know where you're going to be drafted from.
If that second running back will probably be Dalvin Cook, because I have him ranked ahead of Lynch.
Okay, I can see that.
Or Mixon.
Speaking of what Scott did yesterday, he took the double running back, which I'm not opposed to doing on the turn. I mean, I would have went with a receiver, but double running back, totally fine. But the problem I have, if the league is not third-round reversal, where the last pick of the first round gets the first pick of the third round, I'm not going to double up my running backs in a PPR, because I'm not picking till the last pick of the third round. And I think that dilutes it a little too much. If I'm getting that first pick of the third round, and I take the two running backs, I can live.
I think you can do it even in third round reverse, Matt, because I think if I can't.
I'm saying third round reverse, do it.
No, on the back end, if you're on 11-12, because Shady and Freeman, if you can start Shady and Freeman, I'm not tripping off that wide receiver one because I got a ton of catches built in already. You feel what I'm saying? I can have over 100 catches with those two running backs right there. You know what I mean? And then you can come back in a third, and then you can start to pee. Wait, what if Devontae Adams falls?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said this
Golden
morning.
Golden Tate can give you 100 catches.
Golden Tate will probably be there. I don't know about Adams being there anymore.
Okay, but Tate can give you 100 catches.
I've seen Adams fall in the third round. But
yeah, but the back end of it.
But, most people, like, the majority don't play with third round reversal, which I do like for the concept a lot, Matty. But, I'm saying I got Freeman and Murray. I felt I just couldn't pass on that, to have, like, when I think there's only, nine true number one running backs, I'll wait to the third. And if I end up with, like, say, Adams and Tate or Pryor or something like that, I'm fine.
Well, my argument is this, and I'm not saying what you did was wrong at all, but my argument would be, say if I took Michael Thomas or T.Y. Hilton and paired him with Devonta Freeman, and then say that on the 3-4 turn, whatever. Say if I don't think Adams is going to make it there, but say Adams made it there, and you took a Dalvin Cook. I mean, you still got two running backs. Now you got, say you got Golden Tate and Michael Thomas. I like that two wide receiver, two running back setup.
Okay.
A lot. But that's my personal thing.
That works there.
It works. You can play it different ways, you which is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, just parsing out,
to me,
ways.
The difference between DeMarco Murray and Dalvin Cook, I feel so, when we talk about reassurance, to me, DeMarco Murray is my number five running back overall, and to get him is like, have him and Freeman as my 1-2 punch, I just couldn't pass that up.
Who's four?
What's that?
Who's your fourth ranked running back?
LeSean McCoy.
Oh, wow. So you got Freeman and you got Gordon further down.
I have Freeman 6 and Gordon 7.
Oh, so you're not in on Gordon this year.
I like Gordon, yeah.
Okay, but
seventh is not an indictment of him.
No, I'm saying the industry. I've seen where most in the industry has Gordon 4.
Right. I don't have him quite 4 because, like, the versatility of Murray, the yardage is incredible, and I can say the same thing for Freeman. This guy hasn't, as much as I like him, and I think he'll get better this year. He hasn't even rushed for 1,000 yards yet. But,
he only played like 12 games last year.
Right.
He got hurt that first season.
Who hasn't rushed for 1,000 yards last year?
True, but, I feel like... What was his average yards per pop?
It was terrible.
I'm saying he's, to me, and you know me, Corey, from knowing all the other years, I think he has to earn that, and he hasn't quite earned that over Murray and Freeman yet. And if I'm looking at the ADPs right now, I can end up with maybe Sammy Watkins and Terrell Pryor or Demaryius Thomas is my top two wide receivers.
Sammy Watkins is a wide receiver two on the Scott Engel team?
No, it's a wide receiver, one or two, yeah.
Wow. I love Sammy. I don't want to start with him as my one or two.
Yeah.
If I got him in prior, I'd be comfortable with it.
I think he could return.
Ooh, Scott, you're buying the risk if you're doing that, Scott.
By two people.
Okay.
You're buying the risk if you're doing
that's
that.
Okay, I love Pryor.
Can we stick on Melvin Gordon in a second?
Yeah.
And look.
Sure.
I really just to go back to Gordon, the thing you have to like about it is I think this is a really good offense. The argument could be, well, he scored all his touchdowns within the 3-yard line. But look, this is a really good offensive team that's going to have plenty of red zone opportunity. Yeah, plenty of red zone opportunities. You add Anthony Lynn factor in there. I think he's only going to get better.
I think the offensive line is improving too.
Yes, that also is good. Good point.
Let me ask you this. So Anthony Lynn, we've said this a million times about him coming in and he should be making everything better. Now, he said that they are instituting zone blocking techniques, and that's the old Mike Shanahan thing, the zone blocking.
Yeah.
Now, Melvin Gordon's success, of course, came in not a zone blocking scheme. Are you worried at all, Corey, about the changing blocking schemes for Melvin Gordon?
I'm looking at Anthony Lynn's track record.
Sure.
His teams lead the league in rushing. The Chargers are probably going to lead the league in rushing this year. So that's how I'm looking at it. Their main running back is Melvin Gordon, so that's why I got him 4.
Just to bottom line it, like, when you go the two running backs like I did, you take a chance, sort of. But if I go wide receiver running back, then I'm taking more of a chance on what my second running back could turn out to be. So, I realize I have to take a gamble at some point. If I want to front load with running back, I'm willing to wait for the wide receivers.
It'll be interesting to see who's there for you in this third round. I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow on the program. But when we come back, we're talking about running backs here. We're talking about... Injuries and sleepers. Well, an injury to a sleeper at the running back position happened yesterday. We talk about Devontae Booker when we return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning.
It must be Tupac Day.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
We return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, Corey, I know you talked about this yesterday with Jake. We've talked about it quite a bit over the last few months. And that was that Devontae Booker, who was going toward the end of drafts, was going to be the starting running back for the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
And the value was incredible.
Yeah.
Jamaal Charles was not going to make the team.
Nope.
C.J. Anderson had already failed. This is Devontae Booker's shot.
Yep.
And we find out yesterday the shot's going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing right here. They probably won't be able to see him until about maybe that first month, end of that first month of the season, maybe week three, week four, what the projection's looking like right now. So he can't really lose stock in a draft, you feel what I'm saying? Because he was going in the 14th, 15th round anyway.
It's true.
So I'm still going to take him in the 14th, 15th round. I had him as a backup player anyway, somebody that could pop, stash and cash, dollar make you holler type guy. It's disturbing to see this, you know what I'm saying? Especially this early in the season. So he's going to miss all the training camp with this wrist injury. So I'm still drafting him. I'm going to move him down my rankings, put it like that. Because he's going to miss these first couple of weeks. It could take him a little bit longer to get in the flow. But he's still a sleeper that I like at running back. I'm still paying the same draft price for him. But I know that he's not going to be able to be counted on in my lineup until a little bit towards the middle of the season.
Let me ask before you, he gets rolling. What's good about Booker? And I'm not necessarily knocking that he's a sleeper, but when I read the Denver beat guys, they point out when he finally got the opportunity last year,
the offensive line was battered.
He didn't run with it. Like 24 for 76, 24 for 79, 18 for 35. So I'm just asking. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with your pick,
but cool.
I'm saying, why do you think he'll be better than that when he looked good, pretty good early, but when he got a chance to run with the job, he didn't run with it.
Yeah, because the offensive line was already battered by that point of the season when Devontae Booker got the job. So the yards per carry was somewhere you didn't want to be. That's absolutely correct. They retooled that offensive line. They got my man Ron Leary out there from formerly of America's team. So now you got that situation, but even with all that took place with Booker last year, he still caught 31 passes. What are you playing, like 9 games? He was a starter. He caught 31 passes. You know the football is going to be in the air a lot out there in Denver with the Broncos. Not to mention, that offensive line was terrible, and he was able to score, was it 3 or 4 touchdowns? He has a nice push near the goal line, so that's why I think Booker's the back to own in Denver.
But also, if you look at C.J. Anderson last season, you know, in his start, he was really underwhelming for the most part, you know.
Yeah, that's true, too. So, I mean, I'm not going back to Anderson. If Anderson get the job and he run with it and he keep it, God bless him. He won't be on my fantasy team.
I don't think we've seen C.J. Anderson play a full season wire to wire as a starter.
No, we haven't. He had that little 8-week span.
That should be an indictment on himself, though, too.
Yeah, he had the little 8-week span where he won people championships back in 2014. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he has been pedestrian at best.
Yeah, we gotta learn from those kind of things. You know, like a guy will have a great run towards the end of the season, and people think the momentum will carry into the next season. It doesn't always necessarily happen that way.
Well, that's like with fantasy baseball, September heroes. You know, everybody buys into that.
Yeah, yeah,
jacked up.
It's interesting because Corey's right. Like, Devontae Booker was going late in draft, so he really couldn't go much later anyway. Now, it does take some of the shine off of picking him late because he has to get back, and now he's going to have to earn the job again, right? I was ready for it to draft him and think, listen, he could earn the job in training camp. Like, it could happen that he just ascends to this role. Now he's going to take a backseat. I know they drafted a sixth-round rookie as well. Henderson, I think his last name is. And
That's the next thing, to find out who it's going to be now.
Exactly. Jamal Charles, you're reading good things about him. I agree. The answer is no. But Scotty, you point out Devontae Booker had an opportunity last year. Didn't really run with it. Things didn't really go well. But you also pointed out C.J. Anderson's had multiple opportunities and he's never been able to stay healthy and do it over a full season as well. So that's why I think some of the love for Devontae Booker comes in, because Anderson hasn't been able to do it either. I think his entire situation in Denver is totally jumbled up. And I don't think there's any indication, at least for now, on which direction they'll go.
Yeah, and a lot of us are writing Jamal Charles off as a guy who's going to get cut, but now with this injury, I think they at least have to keep him for depth there.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And here's the thing with a Devontae Booker, like Corey's saying. Say you take him down, he falls to the 16th round or whatever, and you take him. You're stashing him away, and it's that second half of the season. We see it every year. The running backs go down. They get injured. And especially if you're doing, say, it doesn't have to be a zero running back, but say you're kind of going wide receiver heavy early, and you get a bunch of pass-catching backs. And then later on in your draft, towards the tail end, you get guys like Jamal Williams, say maybe even a Joe Williams, a Devontae Booker. You're trying to set your team up for that second
stretch run.
And these guys might pop in that second due to injury, opportunity, whatever it may be. So it's not just about having that first half solid team. It's, you know, you got to, it's the full season. That second half run is super.
See, like Engel in the GST league last year, right? He peaked early. You feel what I'm saying? I'm trying to peak towards after Thanksgiving. That's when I want my team
when
to get stronger.
You start 0-9, you can't peak.
I don't want that Engel come out real high.
You want to start 0-9 like Corey did in that league, yes. But the flip side of what you say is now that's a great point, and this should preach to the to people that are listening, because they will originally draft Matt with like an eye on this maybe down the line. But in week one or week two, if they start losing, they start 0-1 or 0-2, or there's a hot free agent out there, they're likely to cut those guys if you don't see something in the first week or two.
Well, look, you got to understand the players that you're drafting. And look, you're going to have tough roster decisions. And going back to the GST last year, Tony Sincotta started out like 0-5 or something.
Yeah,
and
he won the league.
Yeah.
So there you go right there.
You know, you can't just bail. You get off to a bad start. So just to show, I'm just trying to give people ways to look at the season two. If you go back to 2015 throughout this, seven running backs had 1,000 yards rushing. Seven. There's 32 teams, So this running back, this thing, that just because you get a first-round running back doesn't automatically mean it's going to have 1,000 yards at the end of the season. You got to take on there is risk in that as well.
Wasn't it seven in 2015 and like 12 or 13 last year?
It was 12 last year.
Yeah.
So, That's still, compared to the number of
and
teams.
And only one 1,000-yard back made the playoffs.
And only one guy's done it consecutive seasons.
No, that's not true. Ezekiel Elliott was in the playoffs.
Yeah, but no, so was Bell. But only one running back rushed for 1,000 yards in 2015 and 2016.
Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, actually, 2015 was one 1,000-yard back in the playoffs.
All right.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that everybody thinks because they're drafting running backs that they're safe and, they're going to go on to win a championship.
Well, that's the thing, though. Today's running back environment is you don't see a lot of the David Johnson. There's a lot of timeshares in the NFL.
But now, say, however you like him, say he's there in the third or fourth round.
Who?
Would you not, Isaiah Crowell, you wouldn't be willing to start your team off with him?
I'm in an interesting spot right now.
You said you would be willing to start your team
in this mock draft that we're doing right now, because the running backs that I view as the fantasy bell cows are off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, uh-oh, because I'm not drafting Jordan Howard as an RB1. You know what I'm saying? I'm not drafting Jay Ajayi as an RB1.
See, that's not
are you
fair.
Drafting Crowell as an RB1?
Jay Ajayi is an RB1.
Not my book.
He is an RB1. I agree with Corey. After that seven, like, I really don't want to take. I'll take Jordan Howard. I'll take Ajayi. I haven't done it yet in the second round, but I am concerned about that as well. I'm not super confident. I think after that top seven,
I don't even got seven. I kind of stop at Freeman. I stop at Murray.
Yeah, Murray to me.
I thought Crowell was an RB1 to you.
But here's the thing about it is I'm not going to draft him in the second round. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? So now I got to bank on him being there in the third. If he's not in the third, guess what?
So if he's in the third, you'll take him as your RB1?
Yes, I think he's going to be in the third.
But if
he's not there in the third, guess what? I'm going zero RB.
That's why my philosophy has been, if I'm picking, say, you know, anywhere from 5 to 8, which I really like that. I love 8. Give me A.J. Green to start it off with. Say I get a Doug Baldwin in the second round. And then my third round pick. If I get either Mixon or Crowell, I'm feeling good about my team.
Yeah, and that's what I thought in the mock draft yesterday. See, like, there's only 7 surefire guys you can really feel comfortable with in the running back, and I got 2 of them.
This is really interesting to me because you guys, all 3 of you, are in agreement there's only 7 surefire running backs. Everybody else in this industry has zero issue with taking Jay Ajayi in here. And you're all sitting here, there's only 7 running backs, and you're not including Ajayi, which was really interesting to me. I was not really impressed
with what he did last season, to be honest with you. Then he's got that knee thing, Ryan Tannehill. I can't do it. I'll be honest with you. I can't do it as an RB1. I can't.
My reading is a little different than his, but some of it is the same. I feel like Ajayi can be more consistent when he's on the field, but I worry about his health. And look, I'm just going to say this. I have a strong gut feeling he's going to get hurt this year.
Here's the thing for me. I have Bell Johnson right now in one tier. Zeke is moving down just because I don't know how many games he's going to get suspended. So it'd be like Zeke, Gordon, Freeman, McCoy, Murray in that second tier. Then that third tier would be, I mean, I think that's the way you really got to look at it. That's the way at least I do it. And then I have Howard.
What I just don't understand is you have all this love for Melvin Gordon. He had 3.9 yards per carry last year, right? Under 4. He had the 10 touchdowns, and we're like, Anthony Lynn.
Okay, but
what about Adam Gase?
It's not the X's and O's.
What about Adam Gase?
He's a quarterback whisperer.
Adam Gase is an offensive whisperer.
If Melvin Gordon played 16 games last year, I'd like to see what his numbers were.
How many touchdowns would he end up with? The offensive line's getting better.
Doesn't get it above 4. He was 3.9. So now if he had a 4.1, people are going to look at that a little better. Because once you get over that 4, people like it. I think McCoy is going to go under 5 this year. I know you do.
I'm not disputing any of that. What I'm just disputing is that, like, we're screaming Anthony Lynn. Adam Gase turned this offense over to Jay Ajayi last year. And once he did that, the Dolphins got better, Ajayi got better. I think we need to continue on with this conversation because there's a lot to dive into here. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on Sleeper Week, so we're talking about the first round. Stick around. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Clear. I'm not the Jay Ajayi guy. I'm not the banging the table for Jay Ajayi. I'm not the person that's going to be drafting him as the next running back off the board. As we saw, Chris List that did it. I'm not going to be that guy. I don't believe that. But I do believe that Jay Ajayi is in this group, in this tier. I also say the same thing with Jordan Howard. I bang the table with Jordan Howard already too, Corey. I believe these two guys are in this tier with Melvin Gordon, with LeSean McCoy, with DeMarco Murray, with Devontae Freeman. For me, those two guys are in that tier with them. So to be like, I don't trust him as a number one running back is really interesting because this drop-off is precipitous.
Okay, well, if you look at last season, his last eight games, he had one game with more than 79 yards rushing. And that was against the Buffalo Bills on Christmas Eve. Look, I will take, I haven't done it yet, but I will take Ajayi in the second round. I'm going to have concern there. I'll probably take Jordan Howard over him. The thing about Ajayi that we're really falling in love with this year, the reason everybody likes him, is when you hear he's going to get 300 carries, possibly 350 touches, that's...
Can he handle that?
Exactly. Like, yeah. In Draft Champions, where it goes like 35 rounds, I'm taking Kenyon Drake. I'm taking Damian Williams late. Sure. Right? You know, because if he goes down, like Scott says, the bone on bone, he's concerned about an injury. If he goes down, and even when he was healthy last year, these guys got in the game. These guys, you know, Drake would get opportunities. Williams would.
I played him 1 week. Caught one pass.
You know, he is a top 10 back for me, J.J. I'm just saying, after those first seven, is where it falls off for me.
It's about who you're comfortable with as an RB1.
Yeah, and first seven, I feel like Howard and Ajayi to me are a little bit more of question marks. Look, they proved last year.
And Fournette.
They proved last year. Fournette is like right behind them. Like, I feel like there's nine guys.
Is he an RB1 on the Scott Angle team?
No.
There you go.
No. But I feel like Ajayi or Howard could be, but I'm less comfortable with them as I am the top seven, because I feel like with the top seven, I am slightly less confident with Ajayi and Howard than I am with any of those top seven guys.
Basically, Greg, what it boils down to, I kind of think the three of us are in unison with this. If you're in that 5 to 9 range,
yeah,
you're in the danger zone right there.
He doesn't agree. He likes that.
See, that's the danger zone because... I'm nervous who my second pick is going to be.
Because you're nervous the wide receivers are going to be gone and the running backs are left.
No, the wide receivers will be there. The thing about it is that bell cow running back going to be there? Is DeMarco Murray going to be there?
Okay.
Because I'm not going Jordan Howard. I'm not going J.J. I'm not going Leonard Fournette.
You're going Todd Gurley.
I feel like I can get Gurley in the next round.
I don't know about that.
If you can get Crowell and Gurley like this, in the third round, you know, you start with two wide receivers, you're comfortable, right?
If I'm in a draft, somebody know me, right? They're gonna like, oh, this. I'm not gonna let him start Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, and then throw Isaiah Crowell in there.
But you also have to think though that, like, with all due respect, Corey, that people are thinking about their teams first. They're not trying to play keep away with you.
They need to.
They're not thinking that.
When you're in a draft with me, you need to.
My argument
is,
against me. If you can get anybody from Julio, Odell, AJ Green, whatever, you know, that group, pair them with a Doug Baldwin. And if I want to say now I'm stepping, I want to get my running backs. If I can get an Isaiah Crowell or Joe Mixon in the third round, pair that up with a Cook or another.
You got two rookie running backs.
Yes, okay, but the point is, in fantasy football, I am looking at the opportunity. And Leonard Fournette, who I think is a special talent, has an incredible opportunity. They have pushed their chips all into Leonard Fournette.
They're still a losing team.
Okay, but they're the reason I like him better than Gurley. They're a losing team that has a guy that can be a number one wide receiver. He's proven it. He's been that before. They got their number two and three receivers are pretty good. Their line is hopefully better. They got the kid from Alabama in the second round. It's a better situation. They have a better quarterback over Goff than with Gurley. I think with everything they have, I'm looking at opportunities. I think Dalvin Cook is going to get the opportunity. I don't think Murray's going away. I've been preaching Murray's going to have his role, but I think he's going to have enough of an opportunity there. It's all about if I can get Crowell. I mean, it's everybody. Even Mary Kay was like, he is their running back.
See, the thing about it is though, Matt. The thing about it is though, what if you don't get Crowell? You see what I'm saying? You're not going to know that before the draft starts.
And if I don't get any of those guys I want, I'll go to wide receivers.
Third wide receiver.
And I'll nail those pass catching backs.
See, that's too dangerous because those pass catching backs are too risky. Look at the situation with Woodhead right now. He's more than likely not going to be practicing with Joe Flacco for who knows. You know what I'm saying? So I got to rank him down because who knows what that offense looks like with Flacco dealing with his back. So that's something that we have to worry about at least right now. Now through the course of training camp, it might get better. But now with Flacco with his back, you got to think that is going to affect Danny Woodhead, because these pass catching running backs are already too risky. Now you got one in a situation where he could be catching balls from
who? Ryan Mallett.
From Ryan Mallett for the next three weeks.
Here's the thing about Paul, we'll pause on Joe Flacco
just for a second. I just want to get to the phones. 844-843-6879.
Is it Kenny?
It is Kenny. Kenny from Philly. What's up, Kenny?
Kenny, what's up? I don't want no foolishness with you, Kenny. Don't be talking about Adrian Peterson as an RB1.
He's talking about Alvin Kamara as an RB1 today.
Don't sleep on
y'all. How y'all doing this morning?
Yo,
what's up, Kenny?
Hey, let's get to the fun stuff. Hey, are we gonna have stuff mania this year or what, man? I'm gonna need some stuff mania this year, man. What's going on, man? Are we bringing that back?
It's funny. I was talking about this last night with Nando, and I was like, that was the funniest thing ever. Gonna bring. I'm like, I don't know, man.
What's that?
Bringing Susmania the whole thing. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, Kenny. We will see.
Okay. All right. And Matt, I think you're a great addition to the show. You bring a little bit of something extra to the show as well, so I'm glad you're here, buddy.
Well, hey, thank you for the kind words.
No problem. And you like AP, so you're good in my book, so. But anyway.
It's no longer Dave.
No longer Dave, right. On this draft position, man, when you picking that at that 11-12, I mean that 11-12 spot, you really got to go for a sure thing, because if you don't hit both of them by the time you get back around, you're going to be SOL pretty much. Now, Scott said, you said you got who on the turn? You said you got
Freeman and DeMarco Murray.
See, now those are two for sure hits right there. So I think I actually would be okay with that, and then coming back around to a receiver.
Yeah.
So,
turn, you can start running back on that turn, because you can get 100 catches from Murray and Freeman. So I don't got a problem with that. And then wide receiver is deep enough with 3, 4, and 5. You can go ahead and pick up those wide receivers. But in the middle, it's not like that in the middle. I'm telling you.
My mentality though both of those guys slipped to me. I didn't expect to see both of them at 12.
The thing about it is, are you brave enough to take LeSean McCoy over Mike Evans? Are you brave enough to take LeSean McCoy over A.J. Green?
I like Evans and Green better than McCoy.
There you go.
The middle of it is
the danger zone.
Yeah, but why were you...
It's not dangerous, Mike Evans or A.J. Green.
Who's going to be your running back?
Dalvin Cook.
It's really interesting that you bring that you bring this up, Corey, because I was talking with my buddy the other day who has the 7th overall pick, and what we like to do, and I've talked about this on the show before, I like to mock everything out, project who my friends are going to take and figure out who will be there for me.
Yeah.
It's mocking for myself, and he mocks himself, and he started out and he picked AJ Green or whoever at 7, and he goes back around and he goes, holy Christ, this is the problem. There's no running backs I want in the second round. And he goes, this is an issue. Because then I come back in the third round, I'm taking a chance on Isaiah Crowell, who I love, but if he's not there, I am in a major danger zone.
That was my original point last week when I first had that conversation with Corey on this show when you weren't here, that there's only maybe 7 total running backs I feel comfortable with. After that, you know what? I'll be willing to roll the dice and take a top wide receiver.
And that's why at 7, he's like, maybe I should just take LeSean McCoy now and figure it out
and
afterwards.
And I'm sorry, Corey, if I end up with Cook and Lacey, I'm fine with it.
If you end up with Cook and Lacey, then, I mean.
Godspeed.
You got a rookie. I mean, no, I think Cook is the real deal. He fumbles. He has 2 torn labrums. He played for the Vikings.
No, take Joe Mixon then. I got Mixon one spot ahead.
He's a rookie. Behind probably the worst offensive line in the NFL. So, that.
And let me tell you something about Fournette, too. It's like Fournette, we talk about the line. When you have a line like that, or a line at least, let's say, if it's bad as it was last year, you want a runner like that that can create his own space, break tackles, anticipate. And he's the perfect kind of running back behind that line, I think.
So, you talking him up?
What?
Are you talking
him up? I like him at number 10.
Would you take him in the second round as an RB1?
No, I would not. But I like him.
I'd take him at the end of the second round.
See,
no hesitation.
I'd take him
in the third.
See, Greg, that's dangerous territory right there, because Corral is not Darren 3. then you're gonna have that team, and you're gonna have your running backs gonna be Tevin Coleman and Sam Piran.
So basically, so Corey, what if we are just putting this in summation here? It really sounds like you want to walk out of the first two rounds
with a running back.
With a running back,
I want to walk out the first two rounds with a running back. If I have to take Isaiah Crowell in the second, or Todd Gurley,
or Leonard Fournette,
I'm not taking Fournette.
I can't walk out in the first two rounds with Todd Gurley. I don't know.
I'll take the Fournette over a Jai Bet.
I don't know.
I'll take Fournette over Gurley.
Would you take Fournette over a Jai?
No, I'll go with a Jai.
I'm in the mock draft we're in right now. Let's see how it plays out.
We continue the discussion on the other side. It's Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Decided during the break that Corey's pick at 7 is the worst pick in the draft.
I mean, you can do it from there, but it's all about what comes back in the third. I would take Gurley in the third.
You won't get Gurley. I don't think Gurley.
Gurley has gone in the third round in a couple of the drafts I've seen.
By the way, Mailman Ron wants to. What was the question that he had wanted to ask us?
This is from Truck.
That's Truck. John Pat.
Sorry, John.
He said, "Can someone explain why Corey and Scott won't take Fournette in the second round, but they both had Gurley in first round last year?"
I saw Todd Gurley play in 2015. And he killed in 2015. Yes. So I expect him to kill again in 2016. The closest I've seen Leonard Fournette play to in the NFL is a couple games against Alabama. He sucked. He's a rookie.
I'm not that high on him yet.
You just told me that Todd Gurley killed in 2015, so you expected him to kill in 2016. And you were not alone, obviously, in this,
no,
Corey.
I wasn't.
Everybody said this.
I did, too. I took him fourth overall
in the
draft.
That's why I said everybody, right?
Yeah.
Then why, if that was what you believed, and you know you were wrong because of the team and whatnot, that was what everyone believed, how are you so off on Jordan Howard, who had a better season in his rookie year than Todd Gurley did?
I kind of want running backs on good teams. Oh, I want running backs on teams that are going to improve their win total. How many times is Jordan Howard going to have the opportunity to kill the clock in the fourth quarter?
Probably not.
That's a point, too. And it's like, I wouldn't say I'm so off on him. It's just like, I don't have him in that top seven. You know, I've said it. I think defenses are going to stack their fronts, and he's not going to jump out like he did last year and kind of like surprise everybody. They're going to be prepared for him. They're spending a full offseason, divisional opponent, breaking down the film, et cetera. They're going to be more ready for him. Now, look, he's very talented, and he can break tackles. He's a good inside runner. I'm not saying the guy is going to suck, but, you know, I'm not quite as comfortable with him as my top guy.
But what about last season? The team was terrible last year. They have a really good line, projected to be a really solid offensive line this year. Still a bad team, but I think they have. I think you put Glennon in there. You got Meredith. If Kevin White can do something, look, there's a lot of question marks. I agree with that, but he still excelled on a bad team, and I think that defense is going to be better this year as well.
I think the defense is going to be bad. I do agree with you on the fact that, like, you know, you said there are question marks. For me, that's exactly. I think defense are going to be like, let's load up, stop Howard, make Glennon in a questionable receiving crew by trying to beat us.
Nobody
did that last year.
I think he snuck up on people last year.
The whole season, though. I can see the first few games, but when they're looking at the film and they're saying, look, this kid after his first four games playing pretty damn well. Who's quarterbacking here?
I think that's fair, but when a guy comes out at the beginning of the season and they know he's a guy and an opponent spent a full offseason preparing for him, I think it's going to be more difficult.
If you look at the top 12 running backs in, like, say, consensus rankings, who are the guys that are most likely to bust? Jordan Howard and Jay Ajayi.
No, I agree. They come with risk, in my opinion.
Like you pointed out, there are positives. I'm not saying it's all negative. I'm just saying, you know, those are the fears that I have.
There are major positives. And I get the risk of Jordan Howard. Like, I've done this before, right? Like, I jumped on Jeremy Hill the season after. I think I jumped on CJ Anderson the season after. I jumped on effing Monty Ball the season after, right?
I did that, too. But
Yes, you did.
What has to be clear.
I'm proud to say it. I never liked Monty Ball.
Right. What has to be clear. And you're not always right, by the way, either. So, Tywan Jones. But
Antonio Brown.
What?
Antonio
Brown.
That
was so easy. Okay.
That was easy.
That was easy.
They was easy. They was like, no, I don't see it. I think he's good, but he's not as good as they're saying. That's what they were saying to me. And then week two, it was like, oh shit, he was right.
Oh, he went from good to great. Big deal. But what we're trying to say.
Same thing I did.
What we're trying to say here is not yet. But what we're trying to say here is that it's neither black nor white. These guys have positives and negatives.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And so do we. Our number two is next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Thursday, July 27th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Paul Street, Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Happy Thursday to you all. Sleeper Week continues. We roll on here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on RotoExperts.com. The Exclusive Edge package is available right now. Purchase it using the promo code SUSMANIA at RotoExperts.com/discount, and we'll give you a 20% off discount with the promo code SUSMANIA.
SUSMANIA.
And see the sleepers there. We got all our sleepers at all positions.
CDs.
Yes, we do. And not only do we have that, we have Scott's brand new standard PPR ranks. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. He's got them all.
And just as a little treat for you, Brandon Williams.
Oh, a treat.
Brandon Williams also has his midsummer fantasy basketball rankings, which you can view for free.
And that
free.
Is a treat.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to pay for those now. That's cool. So that's a pretty big treat.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Hey, we spent a lot of our number one. God.
Oh, sorry.
You're on a television show.
Oh.
This is not the zoo.
Let's go, Greg.
We, as I mentioned, in our number one, we spent a lot of time talking about draft slot, about the running backs. I feel like, now that their opinions have changed, they've kind of molded as we've done a lot of mock drafts and we've done early drafts here. We've kind of figured it out what exactly we like, where we like, where we don't like. I've kind of discovered through this conversation how much I really don't like Corey's spot in this mock draft at 7. I know Scott, no matter what, will say you can win from anywhere, which is correct, and you're very comfortable drafting in other spots. Matt, you as well. I mean, you've spoken about how you like being in the 5 to 8 spot. I've kind of seen it that I don't love the spot, which is interesting. In this hour, we are going to get to some of the wide receivers we did not get a chance to talk about yesterday when it came to sleepers. We're also going to move on to the sleeper tight ends. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, I do want to once again bring up what you brought up a moment ago, Corey.
Yeah.
And that was Joe Flacco. Because Joe Flacco has got something wrong with his back. And we talk about injuries lingering. Back injuries linger.
For a quarterback. You see what happened? We see my man Tony Romo's in the booth now, right?
I do.
That's because of a back injury.
He's got a CBS jacket.
And that's because of a back injury. Yeah, it's going to be an issue, especially with a new wide receiver in Jeremy Maclin that's not going to get a chance to practice with him. I'm moving Jeremy Maclin down boards right now. I dropped Danny Woodhead one spot. but Jeremy Macklin's going to get a little bit more further.
There is talk he could just miss a week, though.
I want to get Scott and Matt's take on that, because there is talk he can miss a week. There's talk he can miss 4 weeks. 8 weeks. I don't know. I want to know if you guys are doing anything to the Ravens skill position players when we return. The Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number two, live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We roll on right after this.
Big pun.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Mickey on the track.
Roto Experts in the Morning.
Thank you for hitting the post, Greg.
You're welcome.
I like that.
Of course. Fantasy
veteran
sports.
Broadcaster Greg Sussman.
Network. That's what I'm here for.
Nobody does it better.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mentioned Joe Flacco heading into the break, and this is a back injury. Scott's right. They say the rest of the week, back throw next week.
We're hearing conflicting reports. Yeah.
Do you also hear this is a significant injury? Yeah. This could keep him out for a while. If it does, they will look into signing Colin Kaepernick. I mean, that is how far they're willing to potentially go.
Oh, I would love for them to do that. And I would love for them to sign Colin Kaepernick so Ray Lewis can look like a fool.
Yeah, it'd be funny. Ray Lewis is not going to be on Showtime, by the way, inside the NFL.
He's going to be on Inside the NFL? Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to say it, but I'll tell you guys in the break.
That is a veteran move.
No weapon, yes. No weapon formed against him is going to prosper.
He's formed against himself now. Go ahead.
Anyway, with the Joe Flacco news, if nothing else, Scott, there's uncertainty there. Yeah. There's a legitimate uncertainty surrounding Joe Flacco. Corey has moved Jeremy Macklin down. He has moved Danny Woodhead down. And he moved, and we're going to get to Mike Wallace in a moment.
I'll move Mike Wallace up, though.
Because Mike Wallace is a sleeper wide receiver I wanted to talk about yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to. So we'll talk about him in a moment. Are you doing anything to Woodhead, to West, to Macklin with this Joe Flacco news?
Not yet, because I just don't know what the timeline is. And if he's good after rest for a week, yeah, I have to see. Plus the fact that, like, okay, you know, we always assume the drop. I'm not saying Ryan Mallett's anything special, but we always assume that the drop off to the backup is going to be a disaster. If Ryan Mallett can at least manage the game, or this team piles up points from behind, you know, that's what happens because they don't have a running game. The thing with Woodhead is, he might have to throw to these guys a lot. He might have to throw to Woodhead a lot out of the backfield if Mallett's there. That could mean a lot of catches, even though we're moving to a backup quarterback. And he would know who his go-to guy is, the veteran wide receiver in Macklin. So I don't know if I could drop him too far.
How is Macklin? What is Macklin? See, you can't say that about Macklin now. Because if he's not catching passes from Joe Flacco, they're not going to have chemistry in week one. It's not going to happen. Yeah, they've never played together before. It's something completely new for Jeremy Macklin. So now he
goes. Why didn't I have him ranked that high to begin with? So
I had him 34. He takes a major hit. If
Flacco misses a bunch of time, he takes Macklin a major hit. I had him at 31, but I will drop him. But I'm waiting to see what the news is exactly.
Okay, there you go. So,
but Woodhead, I keep in the same range, I think.
Okay, for you too, Matt?
Yeah, Woodhead, I think that's just their offense. I don't think right now he's going to take a major hit for me. He's going to fall back. He's a guy that's proven that he can, you know, he's going to be that pass-catching guy. It's, you know, I can't believe, like, we're kind of like, the funny thing is, like, You wouldn't think you'd be worried about Joe Flacco not being there, you know? He's like 24th to 23rd of my board.
Yeah, but he's the quarterback.
No, right, that's what I'm saying.
From an NFL perspective, and translates into fantasy, even though he's not a good fantasy quarterback, he's more of like a number two. But with Woodhead, like when you say he's the offense and you're right, scares the hell out of me injury-wise.
It's the, you know, it's the Jeremy Macklin excitement that gets really cooled down here.
I think that's very, very fair for all the reasons you guys are mentioning. I mentioned Mike Wallace a moment ago. A sleeper wide receiver that's on my list to talk about for yesterday. We didn't get a chance to. Is Mike Wallace, maybe the shine is off now with this Joe Flacco news, but Matt, is Mike Wallace somebody that we should be drafting earlier? Is he a legitimate wide receiver sleeper this year?
For me, he's, you know, just after the top 40 of wide receivers, you know, maybe, you know, between that 40 to 45 range. I think he stays right there for now. But, you know, Ryan Mallett is not an exciting option. I'd prefer Kaepernick because Kaepernick could at least throw the ball down the field, and that's where Mike Wallace does excel.
I bumped him up a little bit because he knows the system. He knows the offense. He's played in it. He doesn't need to get – see, a backup – you can have Ryan Mallett the whole training camp, and Mike Wallace – and you can put Joe Flacco in week one, and Mike Wallace would be the same because Mike Wallace has played in the offense for a couple years now. They already have chemistry. It's Macklin that's the new player in this situation.
Yeah, to me, Wallace is not a sleeper. I think – what you get from him last year is what you see, but I would expect like 6 touchdowns instead of 4.
We also heard yesterday, and I want to go back and figure out who it was. We heard yesterday that Kelvin Benjamin shows up to camp lighter, faster, quicker, in shape.
He looked good. I'll be honest with you.
He looked good.
I saw a picture of him. He was like, I was like, oh, whoa, he lost that weight fast.
Did he look good enough to draft?
Nope.
Well, not only did he look good, not only were people now higher on Kelvin Benjamin, but somebody inside the Roto Exclusive Edge package chose Kelvin Benjamin as a sleeper.
Jake Seeley?
It is not Jake Seeley. It is your boy, Chris Ventura.
I don't see it. Like I said, I'm off Carolina because I don't know what that offense is going to be this year.
Benjamin displayed reasons for concern in 2016, but at age 26, he can quickly turn things around and easily outperform his ADP, which is currently in the 30 to 35 range of wide receivers. He's a solid wide receiver 3 in standard leagues with an upside of a wide receiver 2.
In standard leagues.
He has low-end wide receiver 3 in PPR, he says.
That's probably where he'll end up falling, so yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. But if he goes there, it's a really big mistake. I mean, they kind of do.
Shout out to Chris Ventura. Yeah, I know he's listening right now.
So there you go. There you go.
I know he's smiling right now. He's bragging about how his fantasy executive gave him a shout out.
you're so important.
Chris, holla at us.
Last wide receiver, we didn't necessarily get a chance to really dive into. I know we want to do this in the BFFs too. And that's Quincy Enunwa with the Jets. I mean, you spoke about him a couple days ago, Corey. Does Quincy Enunwa qualify as a sleeper? You had said no on the fantasy football frenzy in general.
Yeah, I said no. But when you look at the round range he goes in the 16-round draft, yes, Quincy Enunwa is a player that you would consider a sleeper.
Quincy Enunwa or Corey Davis, who are you taking?
Corey Davis.
I think that's going to be a question you're going to be faced with. So.
Are you also saying Corey Davis?
I'm going to go Corey. I just hate that Jets offense. I understand why you're taking Enunwa, but I'll take the upside talent of Corey Davis.
Corey Davis or Tyrell Williams?
Tyrell Williams.
I'm going to go with Corey Davis.
Nice. I like that.
I'm going to go with Corey Davis, but I'm also going to go with Quincy Enunwa over Corey Davis for the record as
like,
well.
I like Tyrell Williams, especially with the Mike Williams injury. You know, had a really good year.
Let me give you another one for Tyrell Williams.
Before you go to Tyrell Williams, Quincy Enunwa, though, somebody's got to catch the ball there and move the sticks. They do have a veteran quarterback. I don't think he's a sleeper. I don't think there's a lot of upside. But I feel like, you know, if you have to plug and play, it's wide receiver 3. He's not going to hurt you.
I think it's fair too. I think that's fair too.
Yeah, but Christian Hackenberg's quarterback, and he may hurt you.
He may hurt you, right?
Yeah,
that's the issue. If Josh McCown's the quarterback, he's going to get the ball to him.
Yeah,
I really believe
he'll move
that.
The ball.
He'll move the ball, yeah. And I think that's going to be Quincy Enunwa.
They'll play from behind. He'll move the chains, you know, etc. They want a first down. That'll be the most dependable guy.
Julian Edelman and Tyrell Wilson.
Oh, that's not even close.
Oh, dude, that's not close. I know you hate Julian Edelman, but that's not close.
See, that's close for me.
No.
Then you're way too low, Julian Edelman. Yeah.
That's Brady's boy. You know, that's, I mean, I don't.
He'll throw him under the bus, too. He got,
even if he takes 50. Even
the
if
dude
he
that took the air
15,
out the footballs, he got him fired. You know what I'm saying?
They're buddies, right? Yeah.
Maybe I am too low on Mr. What'd you call him?
Edelman. You're too low on Julian Edelman.
Yeah, maybe I'm too low on Julian Edelman.
Yeah. So I look at this, and I look at the wide receivers.
Move him up a little bit.
I look at the wide receivers in New England, and you mentioned Brandon Cooks is not going to go to me. And you said, listen, you're in a position to get Brandon Cooks. It didn't even occur to me. I didn't even think about drafting Brandon Cooks. Maybe it's just because of where I've been drafting or where I've been looking at. But Brandon Cooks out there with Julian Edelman, where is Brandon Cooks' value?
Really quick on Brandon Cooks. One thing I think people need to understand. This is a guy that doesn't need 150 targets. He pretty much averages 125 targets. He's got 117 targets, 124 targets. He's got 1,100 yards in each of those seasons. He's going from the Saints to the Patriots. Similar in the fact that they have the, you know, you want to make Edelman, you know, you got Gronk, Edelman. There is the receivers there. So there's I believe there's plenty to go around there. I'm not worried about it. And the Patriots know how to use players.
Some will miscast Brandon Cooks as just a pure deep threat. You know, he's shown with the numbers that he's a lot more than that. You know, this is a guy that, you know, he's going to catch hooks, he's going to catch slants, he's going to be open on the curl, etc., and he'll get downfield. The Patriots didn't acquire him just for a pure deep threat. That is one of his, you know, the strengths on the route tree, but he can do everything.
Yeah, and the guy was, you know, top 12 weeks 1 to 16 in 2015, and he was the number 7 last season, weeks 1 to 16.
I'll tell you this. This is a really interesting, not stat, but I guess factoid that I read yesterday. I forget who it was. Do you know Brandon Cooks is younger than Michael Thomas?
That's crazy, right?
He's younger than, I mean, everybody can remember. Amari Cooper is like, what, just turned 23. He's another guy.
I think it might be 22.
Two seasons in the NFL. I mean, that's pretty
crazy.
You have to, you know, consider these things.
Yeah, Amari Cooper currently is 23 years old.
And that was like last month, right? He just turned it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wild. When we come back, we get into sleeper week today with the tight ends. We look back at last year's tight end picks. We move forward to this year's Roto Experts Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We continue on after this.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
That was Cal Ramsey to that liner, Scott?
Yes.
How's he doing?
Doing fine. Okay. I see him at the Garden during basketball season.
All right. He sounds like, you know,
well, he's
could be nearing the end.
Well, you know, bless him. You know, he's in his late 70s. The guy's played for the Knicks in the 50s and was a broadcaster in the 80s. So,
He's actually 80.
Yes. I thought he was like 78. You know, I'm just 2 years off, but
I'm not criticizing him.
He's only 2 years older than you?
No, 2 years older than I said.
Oh, my bad.
Says the guy with gray in his beard.
But you also have a gray in your beard.
I also, you know what I'm saying, I still get.
So do I.
Questionable.
We won't talk about who it is for you, though.
Don't worry. Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
Good morning, Sean Engel. How are you?
Thank you.
Anyway. I want to get the sleeper tight ends from last year. These are the guys that people inside the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package, sleeping with the staff. It's available now, by the way, 20% off. Use SusMania, rotoexperts.com/bigdeal. And I want to let you guys know who people chose last year, who people were trying to predict what would break out. Let me begin with Clive Walford.
That was a big name.
Who the hell said Clive Walford?
Last year.
A few people did.
Yeah, no, he was a popular name. I took him late in a couple of drafts.
People looking at the Raiders' offense.
Clive Walford was the thing last year.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I do remember that.
This is why we go over this, Corey, so you can remember who people chose and just how absurd they were. Clive Walford was chosen last year inside the Roto Experts exclusive Edge fantasy football package by somebody who was my computer's loading. Okay, here we go. Brandon Williams chose Clive Walford last year. Bobby McMahon chose Clive Walford last year. That was it.
I was nothing to say about that.
Okay.
Flabbergasted.
You asked. I was trying to answer your question. Last year, this is crazy. Someone chose Antonio Gates. How is that like? It's Antonio Gates, a Hall of Fame tight end. Okay. Popular breakout candidate, Zach Ertz. A lot of people liked Zach Ertz last year as a sleeper tight end. Zach Ertz was chosen last year. But Zach Ertz kind of like does what
he's
always
not a
does.
Sleeper.
Yeah.
He wakes up in December.
I think people expect him to have a bigger year even than he did the year before.
Are we doing that again?
With Zach Ertz?
Yes.
I don't know if I can necessarily term him a sleeper.
No. I don't want to term him a sleeper. But are we doing that again with Zach Ertz where we're expecting him to take this big jump or step?
I think I'm kind of looking at him as he is what he is, especially with the other pieces coming in there, especially with Alshon Jeffrey. And like Corey says, let's not forget about Jordan Matthews either.
Yo, I'm starting to worry about Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, that knee, right?
To be honest with you, Scott, I'm starting to worry about Jordan Matthews a little bit because that knee is not right. I think the Eagles might be lying to us.
Yeah, that knee is not good.
Yeah, Andy Saxon, my partner and Eagles fan, sent me a text yesterday, be concerned about the knee. So,
yeah, and I was reading some more people out there in Philadelphia. They was like, yeah, this knee with Jordan Matthews really might be a thing.
He's
an important part of that offense, Jordan Matthews. Like, because Torrey Smith is like a good locker room guy, work well with young players, block, stuff like that. He's not really going to give you a lot of value for fantasy.
He's going to help the quarterback on the right squad like this by going deep. But then we had this story out here that I'm not making a lot of yesterday that Nelson Aguilar could actually leap ahead of him on the depth chart.
Jordan Matthews not playing right now.
I'm talking about Aguilar or Torrey Smith.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
No, but I think this helps Zach Ertz.
I agree with that.
That's how we got there.
I lowered Jordan Matthews a little bit this morning.
The person that I chose, not that I was written in here, but the person I would have chosen last year was Dwayne Allen, which I would have gotten very wrong. Dwayne Allen was also a sleeper tight end last year. Will Tye.
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
My sleeper tight end last year was Hunter Henry.
Really? Mm-hmm. You did the rookie thing last year.
Yep.
Mine was Dwayne Allen. Will Tye was chosen by Jake Seeley last year. And Jake Seeley loved to be,
Homer move.
Loved to call Will Tye. Will Tye the football guy.
Yeah,
that's
Homer.
That's Jake Seeley's line about Will Tye.
Lose that line.
Can you tell him that in an hour or so?
Okay.
Will Tye the football guy. Your boy, Scott, Adam Filadelfo, chose Tyler Croft.
Who the hell is that?
Tomb Raider?
Tyler Croft. He was the starting tight end for Cincinnati when Tyler Eifert was still hurt. Tyler Croft was a name that people chose. Your boy George Kurtz, Modica, chose Ladarius Green.
He was a popular name going into last season.
You had Michael Waterloo select Vance McDonald. He said he wanted to go with Martellus Bennett, but his ADP doesn't really call him a sleeper. So he went with Vance McDonald, who sounds like he's in danger of getting cut in San Francisco.
Yes, that sounds like the case.
Yeah. So that's that with him. And then the king, Scott Engel, made America braid again.
Nice job, Scott.
There you go, Scotty. There you
nice
go.
Job.
Made America braid again. He said, quote, last year, he already has a good on-field relationship with Jameis Winston and will likely further surpass the enigmatic Austin Seferian Jenkins in the passing game in terms of relevance.
Nice job, Scotty.
Nice job by you, Scotty, with your sleeper pick there. Let's move on to this year's sleeper, shall we? This year's tight end sleepers. I opened the wrong page. It's a much smaller position, obviously, than the one we've talked about over the last couple of days.
Austin Hooper.
You say that, but by far right. The most chosen person in this article is Austin Hooper.
Oh, is it?
It is. Three people, including the man.
They must be listening to me on the show.
The man next to you as well.
Oh, he definitely listens to me on the show.
Let him know, Scott.
Chose Austin Hooper.
I don't have to.
You do not have to. You're not required to do so. But you are required to tell us why you like Austin Hooper.
I just feel like, that offense is still going to be very good. But they really haven't found a tight end ever since Tony Gonzalez retired, you know, in 2013, I believe it was, and was his last year. And I think Hooper takes a step forward this year, and they start finding him down the seam. And in the red zone, he's talented. He's had some time to get comfortable here with Matt Ryan, and I think he takes a step forward.
Yeah, he's a former second-round pick. Matt Ryan threw 10 touchdowns to the tight ends last year. So this is the season we're going to hope he makes that step up. The offense was extremely efficient last year. Even with a pullback, it's still going to be one of the better offenses. As Scott just mentioned, you know, since Tony Gonzalez left, there's been a void there. And Matt Ryan does like to throw to the tight end. I mean, look, I don't think anybody really off the top of their head would know 10 touchdown passes to a tight end last year. They were kind of scattered around from different people. So I think he has a chance. This is somebody you don't have to really pay for, has a chance to make a significant step.
Yeah, I was stuck between him and Tyler Higbee as my two sleeper choices, but I went with Hooper. You know, I feel like also, you know, when you look at the opportunity to be a reliable target in that passing game, to Matt's point about, you know, using the tight end, I really feel like outside of Julio Jones, there's not a dependable guy that has emerged consistently to move the sticks on important downs, and I feel like Hooper can start moving into that sort of
Freeman
role.
And Coleman to move the sticks.
I'm saying, you know, I'm talking about as, you know, as wide receiver tight ends. You know, you can't always throw to the running backs. You know, they're going to be a lot of volume there. And I think they need somebody besides the running backs, to your point, that can help move the sticks as well.
One last quick point. I think that Michael Salfino points out a lot is zero bad QB. And, you know, Hooper has a really good quarterback. I think in most consensus, he's like a top five or top six quarterback this year. So, you know, you add that into the mix, makes him more appealing as well.
Scott, you mentioned that your other choice is going to be Tyler Higbee. And it's interesting because somebody else chose, inside the staff, chose Gerald Everett, the other tight end out there in Los Angeles. Both Everett and Higbee, it seems like people are getting in. I don't know which one's going to be the correct tight end, but it seems like people are buying into the tight end in Los Angeles, kind of following Sean McVay with all the success that he had with Jordan Reed, and thinking that either Everett or Higbee could become like Jordan Reed, hopefully without the injuries. What made you so high on Higbee?
I would say that, you know, I watched Goff a lot in the preseason last year, and every time he got in trouble, he was looking Higbee's way. So, you know, you won't see it in the regular season numbers, but I believe that there's an established comfort relationship that these guys were working together a lot in practice, preseason, stuff like that. And sometimes when you get into the regular games and these guys have an established relationship, that, you know, you're going to see it sort of, you know, materialize, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, Higbee and I think Gerald Everett made a comment yesterday, something about that he sees him and Higbee could be as good as the Redskin tight ends and stuff, which is pretty bold.
No, he just caught an assault charge.
Higbee did?
Yeah, he's gonna get suspended for a couple games.
Scott, have you watched any tape on Gerald Everett yet? Have you had a chance to do that?
No, I have not. But you know, rookie tight end coming over there with somebody who Goff already has a comfort level with, I'm not going to be putting him ahead of him.
But as Corey mentioned, he did plead guilty to that second degree assault charge from last year. League discipline. He'll be subject to league discipline.
But now, you know, let's say, you know, the guy plays 14 games. I think he's got a chance to put up some pretty decent tight end.
He could. I don't disagree with him. I do want to read you though. Inside the exclusive edge package available now at RotoExperts.com. Sussmania. Ding. Well, the guy said about Gerald Everett, and that was my man, Michael Florio. He chose Gerald Everett. He said, this is diving real deep, but the Rams went out and used a second-round pick, 6'3", 240, the whole former basketball player thing going on, and basically, he's a big dude that Jared Goff can target, something that, you know, you'd arguably say the Rams don't have.
Right, but, you know, that's the scouting report on talent, in my estimation, which, you know, could play in a few years down the line, and maybe the Rams made a good pick, but I believe Goff already knows what he has in Higbee.
All right, well, we will see. We have a bunch of other tight ends to talk about after Austin Hooper, after Gerald Everett, because when we come back here on the Road to Experts in the morning, we're going to turn things to a little bit older, and that's when we talk about George Kurtz's selection of Julius Thomas. Julius Thomas up next here on the Road to Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning, Sleeper Week. Give it the hashtag on Twitter, gentlemen. Hashtag Sleeper Week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and, of course, at RotoExperts.com. I mentioned going to the break that man George Kurtz has chosen Julius Thomas as a sleeper tight end. And I ask, are we really doing this Julius Thomas thing again?
He's a backup tight end for me.
I'll draft him. I wouldn't be surprised if he popped. You know what I'm saying? Would I have called him my sleeper? No. But I don't have a problem with it. I think, George knows what he's talking about. So I think the Julius Thomas thing could hit. I'm going to have some Julius Thomas as a tight end, too. I have no problem with that.
I mean, I get the, I'm sorry, Scott. I get the love, the understanding he's going to Miami, the whole hookup connection there. But, I mean, I don't know.
There's the two sides to this whole thing, like we talk about it. People still look at the name Julius Thomas, and you know they still have some lingering love for what happened a few years ago. But at the same time, the Miami Dolphins have been searching for an answer at tight end for a few years. I know Omar Kelly, who covers the covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel, is not high in him at all. He was slamming the acquisition when they made it, saying, you know, breaking down the film, says this guy doesn't block, he doesn't do anything after the catch. As a receiver, he thinks he's overrated. They've been looking for somebody to fill that spot. You know, the tight end's never been a thing under the Tannehill era, except for, you know, Charles Clay for a little while. I think he's commensurately ranked as like a 16th, 17th tight end. You know, he's got the talent, I think, where it wouldn't shock me, like Corey says, if he succeeded. But, you know, I'm not really feeling it.
I am so out on Julius Thomas. It's unbelievable. You know, it's just like we have seen this show before where people get excited about Julius Thomas and his ability to score touchdowns and his ability to be this big dude in this offense and be able to make his mark. And then he gets hurt. And then he's ineffective. And then maybe he goes, has a game or two, where he has a couple touchdowns, and then he gets hurt again. And it's just like, it's this vicious cycle where I could just look in a different direction, Corey.
No, I mean, if you want to do that, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with that. You know, that's where I'm at with Julius Thomas. Hey, I feel this way about him. You feel that way about him?
Yes.
What was Julius Thomas' last good year?
When he had Peyton Manning.
I'm saying, did everybody remember what the year
put
was?
Put it this way. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if Anthony Fasano had a better year than him.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Is Fasano still on this team?
I'm not going to go that deep.
He's back.
Fasano's a guy they like as a blocker a lot.
Yeah. He's a blocker that in the red zone can catch a couple touchdown passes.
Julius Thomas has not played, like, 14 games in like
ever.
4 years. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, his last good year was in Denver, Scott, for 2014. There you go.
2014. That was like Peyton Manning's last respectable year.
As we said, Peyton Manning isn't walking through that door.
No, he's not. Other tight ends include the man you chose last year, Scott. I don't know if that counts, but you chose last year, and that was Cameron Brate. Corey, you are the O.J. Howard guy here.
Yeah.
O.J. Howard is a, quote, Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer O.J. Howard.
Unquote.
Hall of Fame talent.
No. I am not letting you backtrack.
All right, so future Hall of Famer O.J. Howard.
Thank you. Future Hall of Famer O.J. Howard. Cameron Brate is still there.
Yeah. Make America Brate again.
Can Cameron Brate be as good as he was last year with O.J. Howard there?
I think Cameron Brate can put up nice numbers. I think he's solid tight end. I would take him on my team. I would take him on my team as a tight end one, Cameron Brate.
So you would?
Yeah, I would take him on my team. I think it's enough for both of them. I think it's enough to go around in Tampa.
You're asking a lot. I mean, because
he's still the move tight end, right? Yeah. So he's still the move tight end. He's still going to get some love in the middle of the field. I think O.J. Howard can. I think O.J. Howard dominates, though. You know what I'm saying? I think O.J. Howard gets more targets, gets more catches. But Cameron Brate will still put up respectable tight end numbers.
I don't think Winston's going away from him. They got a nice rapport here.
Right.
And of course, they like to run that, you know, two tight end set, that formation. I think he's in a very good spot. I have him as a tight end one, or maybe one spot. Yep. I have him on a lot of teams as my tight end two.
And I'm cool
really,
with that too.
And I'm really happy about that.
Two tight ends are better than one.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of teams like to do that. You know, they'll run a two tight end set, you know, especially in the red zone.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Yes,
that is true. Yeah, I think that Cameron Bray, Matt, I think what you said is ultimately right here when it comes to Cameron Bray. Is that like they have this established chemistry?
Yeah,
I don't think it just goes away because they draft O.J. Howard.
The one thing, as much as I'm excited for this offense, I think everybody pretty much is excited for this offense. Is the head coach is more going to be, he's more of that conservative type. And I think when he's gotten the lead, I don't think, you know, certain teams will just keep marching down and putting that, you know, just keep steamrolling you. I think Cutter's more of that, you know, we got the lead, I want to kind of manage.
Well, with that being said.
And Jameis Winston's not going to want to manage. Jameis Winston going to want to wing it. You feel what I'm saying?
I agree. But no, Jameis Winston's got to improve. He can't be throwing picks like that. I love Jameis too.
The thing about Howard is, you have to
consider the coach.
The thing about Howard is a talent. And it points to what Corey says about he wants to wing it. Jameis Winston has no qualms about throwing up a jump ball for a guy to pluck it out of the air. Brate's not going to do that. Howard will.
With that all being said, if they're going to be conservative, like Matt is talking about, we got to bring up the guy that you brought up back in February, to be honest with you, Corey, and that's Jaquizz Rodgers, because not enough people are drafting this guy, number one at all.
Yeah.
Number two, as high as he should go, because if nothing else, this is a starting running back for the first 3 weeks of the season.
He's a starting running back for the first 3 weeks of the season. Connected to a fantasy-friendly offense. You know what I'm saying? So, now, Jaquizz Rodgers should be owned in every 12-team league.
I mean, and he should be drafted before he's going, because not that he's just a starter for 3 weeks. This is a guy that, when he started last year, was handed the rock a billion times.
He had a ton of volume. Listen, he wasn't impressive, but he's a starting running back, like I said, attached to a fantasy-friendly offense. And they're like, okay, well, what happens when Doug Martin comes back? It's effing Doug Martin.
Sure.
You can't be on the positive side of a timeshare with Doug Martin. You don't deserve to be in the NFL.
Oh, update here.
Jaquizz Rodgers is broken.
No. Michael Florio selected Dez Bryant.
So
that's what we thought. So you're on the clock.
So I'm on the clock, and here you go. So this is what the situation we talked about earlier. Now, what am I going to do here? Am I going to take Jordan Howard?
Well, tell the listeners who you took first and what your slot in the draft.
I got the 7th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I took Mike Evans. I want to get a running back in the first two rounds.
Who's your highest running back at this point?
The highest running back that I have, my highest ranked running back that's still on the board, I'll be honest with you, is Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking Todd Gurley right here.
So then you're taking Amari Cooper, and that's it.
I'm taking Amari Cooper, and then we'll see what happens in the third round. If Isaiah Crowell is not there in the third round, guess what?
Taking another wide receiver.
Then you got to go. Then I'm taking another wide receiver.
Got to go with the flow. Now, like
now that this has worked out like this, do you regret not taking a running back at 7?
I can't leave Mike Evans and these targets on the board for Shady McCoy, Melvin Gordon.
I think it comes down to taking what you feel is your best overall player and not thinking necessarily about position.
But still,
which is
Scott,
what I did.
But you still, I mean, you, just the team still has to be built. I got to start two running backs.
It's got to be built. But the way you said, though, I can't leave Mike Evans there. It was my same thought at 12. I can't leave Freeman. I can't leave Freeman and Murray there. You take your best player
but
overall.
But see, the thing is, Scott, wide receiver is deep.
And then
running
hold on.
Back is not.
Then hold on. Another reason why I did the two running back thing. But then you say, okay, I have the confidence as an expert that I'll do the right thing. We'll figure it out.
Did you consider taking A.J. Green over Mike Evans?
No.
Okay. I think I'm. I don't know. That would have been tough for me. I feel you. I think they're right there together. And I
like Evans. Don't get me wrong. Yeah,
people died by default say Evans because of health. You know.
You can go there. I don't think there's a wrong pick there.
Sure.
I don't think.
So there you go. Corey's gonna pick Amari Cooper.
I love Amari Cooper. I mean, a Mike Evans, Amari Cooper start is nothing to sneeze at. But I need to get me one trustworthy running back. I don't want to be sitting up here looking at a team with Dez Bryant, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, Michael Crabtree, and then my running back one is Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not horrible, but that's not win the whole thing.
No, probably not. Probably not.
I'll win the league, but I'm trying
but then
to,
you
I'm
have to think, okay,
the over, I'm talking about the overall.
You're thinking, okay, Lynch, but like, who's your guy at running back that like a Dalvin Cook type that you think, okay, he's going to hit, you know, it's
Tevin
got the
Coleman.
Upside. Yeah.
Tevin Coleman. So I'm in that nasty pass catching running back situation. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you talk about a Cook or a Mixon, like, you know, okay,
they've never played an
hit,
NFL game.
But no, but you go, when you get into the mentality, you're like, okay, I have the confidence in an expert that one of these guys are going to hit, and that's what I'm going to bank on.
Yeah. But you never know. Crowell or Gurley could beat in the third.
He could be. Mm-hmm. He could be. We'll find out today. So
Probably so.
Hey, another tight end that was on the sleeper list, Kobe Fleener. I know you've talked about him, Corey.
I like him. Scary, but I like him.
Why are you doing
if
this
he yourself? Can, if he can catch more of his targets, I think his catch rate last year was like 61%.
God.
You know what I'm saying? If he can catch more passes, then Drew Brees are throwing more passes.
I think they were just so off sync, and you saw it last season. They just, I mean, he was open on a lot of plays that him and Brees just couldn't connect on.
Yeah, I think that I'm out on Kobe Fleener. I am out on doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I'm not excited about it.
I heard about him in Indianapolis for years, and it never materialized.
Absolutely.
And that was a good offense,
oh,
too.
Oh, no question yeah. about it. You know what? Like, both him and Willie Snead look the same anyway. From the back, so I'll just take the release.
Yeah, they do.
Except Fleener is the one with the ball bouncing off the front of his
right.
helmet.
You know,
Snead is the one catching it.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Willie Snead's got a 68% or 69% catch rate the last two seasons.
The last tight end sleeper here on the list, Evan Engram, New York Giants. I don't know, they got a lot of mouths there.
I don't know. I stated earlier before, a couple months ago, he was going to be the tight end to own out of the rookies this year. Just for 2017.
Sure.
I think the other guys have the higher share.
Sure. It was Chris Ventura that chose.
He's a homer.
He's a curiosity to know me, Engram, though. He fits a role in that offense, and Matt's always talking about roles.
He does, but
I could go for a nice button roll right about now.
That would be nice.
we could all do that. Hey, Final Five coming your way when we return. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I was waiting for it. There you go. Final couple minutes here. It makes it louder, huh? Are you trying to drown out Scott C? What's trying to happen here?
He went from playing guitar to drums. It was a nice transition.
Seamless.
Right. I don't know if anybody said this in the exclusive Edge package, right?
Right.
But what I would...
Would you put this in the executive Edge, what you're going to say?
Sorry. Yes. Deion Sims. Don't forget about Deion Sims. Deep sleeper tight end, Deion Sims. The Chicago Bears are notorious for getting their tight ends involved in the offense. Zach Miller is still dealing with his foot injury. Deion Sims is a guy they signed in the offseason. Deion Sims can play. So I'm not saying you go out there and draft him, but you might want to etch that name in your kitchen table.
Yeah, I don't hate the Deion Sims call.
No, I think what Corey's right is what the Bears do, how they do utilize tight end. He's a good blocker, so he's going to be on the field. And in the red zone, you know,
they're very excited about Adam Shaheen, who they drafted in the second round.
Yeah, but Shaheen is his blocking tight end. He's an inline tight end. That dude is like 295 pounds.
I think they like him as a receiver, too.
One piece of information comes out this morning officially, and that is that the Cowboys have signed Ronnie Hillman to a contract. Ronnie Hillman joins the Cowboys backfield. Does this make you any more nervous about Zeke?
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to load the deck for a possible maybe suspension. I don't know why they're going to suspend the dude. He hasn't done anything. But you know,
you keep saying this.
He hasn't done anything. What has he done?
I don't know what can come out.
What has he done? He hasn't done anything.
I think they need to prove something.
The police in Columbus, let it go. The police in Dallas, let it go.
I mean, I'm not condoning any of his actions. I'm not condoning anything. But I think if they're going to suspend him, either prove something or have him doing something on tape.
I don't understand. If like the police in Columbus and Dallas both let it go, why is the NFL going to suspend him?
It's probably for that St. Patrick's Day thing.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
If that's what it's for, then, you know, then he did do something.
That I could see. That's the one thing that stands
wild to me, yo.
Corey's like,
wild to me, yo.
If that's what you get suspended for, it's amazing what you would see suspended for.
Oh, my goodness. I would never have a job.
Corey, do that twice a week.
Twice a day.
Yeah. Come here.
Yeah. No, you're not doing it here.
There you go.
So yeah, that was a big piece of information here coming out this morning. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about sleepers. It's the final day of sleeper week. We're talking about sleepers from an auction perspective, how we deal with sleepers, a lot of the guys that we talked about this week, how we deal with them in an auction. And I'm very excited to have that conversation tomorrow. Corey, what's coming up next on the Fantasy Football Frenzy?
On the Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up next,
we'll look at this piece of paper.
We need to look at some of these things that's going down injury-wise, start to shake out how that's going to play out. We want to discuss the Chicago Bears training camp as they're getting ready to kick off. Also,
Giant training camp.
The third round reversal in NFFC ADPs. We want to take a little deeper look at that because I'm curious, is that third round reversal, how does that affect the average draft positions? And my man Dalton Del Don from Yahoo be on the frenzy with me, Matt, and Jake.
Number one ranker for the past season.
Number one.
Yeah. Fantasy pros.
Numero uno. Fantasy pros, Dalton Del
Don. Top dog.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence that him and Jake are on the same program today.
Sure isn't.
Battle of the rankers.
Seventh all-in kid is a beast. We already know that.
Yeah, Jake's one of the best.
Jake finished sixth this year and has averaged third over the last 2 years.
I think, wasn't Adam Rona somewhere in the top 10 this year too?
I don't know.
I think I heard that.
Well, shout out to Adam.
He was top 10 last year.
It's funny because you say the average third over the last 2 years. You're telling us he was sixth this year, which means he had to be first the year before.
I think Joe Dolan was.
I think with this combination of in-season and preseason, he's averaged third.
He's an accuracy expert.
Yeah. Sure.
Third is pretty good.
He's the all-in kid. He is one of the more accurate in the business. He's coming up next in the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Matt Modica and Corey Parson. Until tomorrow morning, for Scott, for Matt, for Corey, I am Greg. Have a fantastic rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Roto Experts. Bye-bye.